broken to pieces. The sailors were frightened, and they all started praying to their gods. They even threw the ship's cargo overboard to make the ship lighter. All this time, Jonah was down below deck, sound asleep. The ship's captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep at a time like this? Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will have pity on us and keep us from drowning." Finally, the sailors got together and said, "Let's ask our gods to show us who caused all this trouble." It turned out to be Jonah. They started asking him, "Are you the one who brought all this trouble on us? What business are you in? Where do you come from? What is your country? Who are your people?" Jonah answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." When the sailors heard this, they were frightened, because Jonah had already told them he was running from the Lord. Then they said, "Do you know what you have done?" The storm kept getting worse, until finally the sailors asked him, "What should we do with you to make the sea calm down?" Jonah told them, "Throw me into the sea, and it will calm down. I'm the cause of this terrible storm." The sailors tried their best to row to the shore, but they could not do it. And the storm kept getting worse every minute. So they prayed to the Lord, "Please don't let us drown for taking this man's life. Don't hold us guilty for killing an innocent man. All of this happened because you wanted it to." Then they threw Jonah overboard, and the sea calmed down. The sailors were so terrified that they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made all kinds of promises. The Lord sent a big fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah's Prayer, Chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. "When I was in trouble, Lord, I prayed to you and you listened to me. From deep in the world of the dead, I begged for your help and you answered my prayer. You threw me down to the bottom of the sea. The water was churning all around. I was completely covered by your mighty waves. I thought I was swept away from your sight, never again to see your holy temple. I was almost drowned by the swirling waters that surrounded me. Seaweed had wrapped around my head. I had sunk down below the underwater mountains. I knew that forever I would be a prisoner there. But you, Lord God, rescued me from that pit. When my life was slipping away, I remembered you, and in your holy temple you heard my prayer. All who worship worthless idols turn from the God who offers them mercy. But with shouts of praise, I will offer a sacrifice to you, my Lord. I will keep my promise, because you are the one with power to save." The Lord commanded the fish to vomit up Jonah on the shore, and it did. Jonah goes to Nineveh. Chapter 3. Once again the Lord told Jonah to go to that great city of Nineveh and preach his message of doom. Jonah obeyed the Lord and went to Nineveh. The city was so big that it took 3 days just to walk through it. After walking for a day, Jonah warned the people, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed." They believed God's message and set a time when they would go without eating to show their sorrow. Then everyone in the city, no matter who they were, dressed in sackcloth. When the king of Nineveh heard what was happening, he also dressed in sackcloth. He left the royal palace and sat in dust. Then he and his officials sent out an order for everybody in the city to obey. It said, "None of you or your animals may eat or drink a thing. Each of you must wear sackcloth, and you must even put sackcloth on your animals. You must also pray to the Lord God with all your heart and stop being sinful and cruel. Maybe God will change his mind and have mercy on us, so we won't be destroyed. When God saw that the people had stopped doing evil things, he had pity and did not destroy them as he had planned. Jonah gets angry at the Lord. Chapter 4. Jonah was really upset and angry, so he prayed, "Our Lord, I knew from the very beginning that you wouldn't destroy Nineveh. That's why I left my own country and headed for Spain. You are a kind and merciful God, and you are very patient. You always show love, and you don't like to punish anyone, not even foreigners. Now let me die. I'd be better off dead." The Lord replied, "What right do you have to be angry?" Jonah then left through the east gate of the city and made a shelter to protect himself from the sun. He sat under the shelter, waiting to see what would happen to Nineveh. The Lord made a vine grow up to shade Jonah's head and protect him from the sun. Jonah was very happy to have the vine, but early the next morning the Lord sent a worm to chew on the vine, and the vine dried up. During the day, the Lord sent a scorching wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head, making him feel faint. Jonah was ready to die, and he shouted, "I wish I were dead." But the Lord asked, "Jonah, do you have the right to be angry about the vine?" "Yes, I do," he answered, "and I'm angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You are concerned about a vine that you did not plant or take care of, a vine that grew up in one night and died the next. In that city of Nineveh, there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell right from wrong, and many cattle are also there. Don't you think I should be concerned about that big city?"
This ends Jonah, narrated by Norman Dietz. And now, Micah, narrated by Henry Strozier.
Micah. About this book. The messages in this book were especially for Samaria, the capital of Israel, and for Jerusalem, the capital of Judah. Instead of leading their nations to worship and obey the Lord, the officials and people of these capital cities had led their nations to worship other gods and to cheat and rob the poor. And so the Lord was going to punish Israel and Judah. But the Lord had also promised that in the future the people of Israel and Judah would return to him. Then he and his chosen king would take care of the people, just as shepherds take care of sheep. And there would be peace everywhere. Chapter 1. I am Micah from Moresheth, and this is the message about Samaria and Jerusalem that the Lord gave to me when Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were the kings of Judah. Judgment on Samaria. Listen, all of you. Earth and everything on it, pay close attention. The Lord God accuses you from his holy temple, and he will come down to crush underfoot every pagan altar. Mountains will melt beneath his feet, like wax beside a fire. Valleys will vanish like water rushing down a ravine. This will happen because of the terrible sins of Israel, the descendants of Jacob. Samaria has led Israel to sin, and pagan altars at Jerusalem have made Judah sin. So the Lord will leave Samaria in ruins, merely an empty field where vineyards are planted. He will scatter its stones and destroy its foundations. Samaria's idols will be smashed, and the wages of temple prostitutes will be destroyed by fire. Silver and gold from those idols will then be used by foreigners as payment for prostitutes. Judah is doomed. Because of this tragedy, I go barefoot and naked. My crying and weeping sound like howling wolves or ostriches. The nation is fatally wounded. Judah is doomed. Jerusalem will fall. Don't tell it in Gath. Don't even cry. Instead, roll in the dust at Beth-Leaphra. Depart naked and ashamed, you people of Shefer. The town of Beth-Ezel mourns because no one from Zaanan went out to help. Everyone in Meroth hoped for the best, but the Lord sent disaster down on Jerusalem. Get the war chariots ready, you people of Lachish. You led Jerusalem into sin, just as Israel did. Now you will have to give a going-away gift to Moresheth. Israel's kings will discover that they cannot trust the town of Achzib. People of Marisha, the Lord will send someone to capture your town. Then Israel's glorious king will be forced to hide in Adullam Cave. Judah, shave your head as bald as a buzzard and start mourning. Your precious children will be dragged off to a foreign country. Punishment for those who abuse their power. Chapter 2. Doomed. You're doomed. At night you lie in bed, making evil plans. And when morning comes, you do what you planned because you have the power. You grab any field or house that you want. You cheat families out of homes and land. But here is what the Lord says. I am planning trouble for you. Your necks will be caught in a noose, and you will be disgraced in this time of disaster. When that happens, this sorrowful song will be sung about you. Ruined, completely ruined. The Lord has taken our land and given it to traitors, and so you will never again own property among the Lord's people. Enough of your preaching, that's what you tell me. We won't be disgraced, so stop preaching. Descendants of Jacob, is it right for you to claim that the Lord did what he did because he was angry? Doesn't he always bless those who do right? My people, you have even stolen clothes right off the backs of your unsuspecting soldiers returning home from battle. You take over lovely homes that belong to the women of my nation. Then you cheat their children out of the inheritance that comes from the Lord. Get out of here, you crooks. You'll find no rest here. You're not fit to belong to the Lord's people, and you will be destroyed. The only prophet you want is a liar who will say, drink and get drunk. A promise of hope. I, the Lord, promise to bring together the people of Israel who have survived. I will gather them just as a shepherd brings sheep together, and there will be many. I will break down the gate and lead them out. Then I will be their king. Evil rulers and lying prophets. Chapter 3. Listen to me, you rulers of Israel. You know right from wrong, but you prefer to do evil instead of what is right. You skin my people alive. You strip off their flesh, break their bones, cook it all in a pot, and gulp it down. Someday you will beg the Lord to help you, but he will turn away because of your sins. You lying prophets promise security for anyone who gives you food, but disaster for anyone who refuses to feed you. Here is what the Lord says to you prophets. You will live in the dark, far from the sight of the sun, with no message from me. You prophets and fortune tellers will all be disgraced, with no message from me. But the Lord has filled me with power and his spirit. I have been given the courage to speak about justice, and to tell you people of Israel that you have sinned. So listen to my message, you rulers of Israel. You hate justice and twist the truth. You make cruelty and murder a way of life in Jerusalem. You leaders accept bribes for dishonest decisions. You priests and prophets teach and preach, but only for money. Then you say, the Lord is on our side, no harm will come to us. And so, because of you, Jerusalem will be plowed under and left in ruins. Thorns will cover the mountain where the temple now stands. Peace and Prosperity. Chapter 4. In the future, the mountain with the Lord's temple will be the highest of all. It will reach above the hills, and every nation will rush to it. People of many nations will come and say, "Let's go up to the mountain of the Lord God of Jacob and worship in his temple. The Lord will teach us his law from Jerusalem, and we will obey him. He will settle arguments between distant and powerful nations. They will pound their swords and their spears into rakes and shovels. They will never again make war or attack one another. Everyone will find rest beneath their own fig trees or grapevines, and they will live in peace. This is a solemn promise of the Lord All-Powerful. Others may follow their gods, but we will always follow the Lord our God. The Lord will lead his people home." The Lord said, "At that time, I will gather my people, the lame and the outcasts, and all into whose lives I have brought sorrow. Then the lame and the outcasts will belong to my people and become a strong nation. I, the Lord, will rule them from Mount Zion forever. Mount Zion in Jerusalem, guardian of my people, you will rule again. Jerusalem, why are you crying? Don't you have a king? Have your advisors gone? Are you suffering like a woman in childbirth? Keep on groaning with pain, you people of Jerusalem. If you escape from your city to the countryside, you will still be taken as prisoners to Babylonia. But later, I will rescue you from your enemies. Zion, because of your sins, you are surrounded by many nations who say, 'We can hardly wait to see you disgraced.' But they don't know that I, the Lord, have gathered them here to grind them like grain. Smash them to pieces, Zion. I'll let you be like a bull with iron horns and bronze hoofs. Crush those nations and bring their wealth to me, the Lord of the earth." A Promised Ruler. Chapter 5. Jerusalem, enemy troops have surrounded you. They have struck Israel's ruler in the face with a stick. Bethlehem Ephrath, you are one of the smallest towns in the nation of Judah. But the Lord will choose one of your people to rule the nation, someone whose family goes back to ancient times. The Lord will abandon Israel only until this ruler is born, and the rest of his family returns to Israel. Like a shepherd taking care of his sheep, this ruler will lead and care for his people by the power and glorious name of the Lord his God. His people will live securely, and the whole earth will know his true greatness, because he will bring peace. Assyria will be defeated. Let Assyria attack our country and our palaces. We will counterattack, led by a number of rulers whose strong army will defeat the nation of Assyria. Yes, our leaders will rescue us if those Assyrians dare to invade our land. The survivors will be safe. A few of Jacob's descendants survived and are scattered among the nations. But the Lord will let them cover the earth like dew and rain that refreshes the soil. At present they are scattered, but later they will attack as though they were fierce lions pouncing on sheep. Their enemies will be torn to shreds, with no one to save them. They will be helpless, completely destroyed. Idols will be destroyed in Israel. The Lord said, At that time I will wipe out your cavalry and chariots, as well as your cities and your fortresses. I will stop you from telling fortunes and practicing witchcraft. You will no longer worship the idols or stone images you have made. I will destroy them, together with the sacred poles and even your towns. I will become furious and take revenge on the nations that refuse to obey me. The Lord's Challenge to His People. Chapter 6. The Lord said to His people, Come and present your case to the hills and mountains. Israel, I am bringing charges against you. I call upon the mountains and the earth's firm foundation to be my witnesses. My people, have I wronged you in any way at all? Please tell me. I rescued you from Egypt, where you were slaves. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to be your leaders. Don't forget the evil plans of King Balak of Moab, or what Balaam, son of Beor, said to him. Remember how I, the Lord, saved you many times on your way from Acacia to Gilgal. True obedience. What offering should I bring when I bow down to worship the Lord God Most High? Should I try to please Him by sacrificing calves a year old? Will thousands of sheep or rivers of olive oil make God satisfied with me? Should I sacrifice to the Lord my firstborn child as payment for my terrible sins? The Lord God has told us what is right and what He demands. See that justice is done. Let mercy be your first concern, and humbly obey your God. Cheating and violence. I am the Lord, and it makes sense to respect my power to punish. So listen to my message for the city of Jerusalem. You store up stolen treasures and use dishonest scales. But I, the Lord, will punish you for cheating with weights and with measures. You rich people are violent, and everyone tells lies. Because of your sins, I will wound you and leave you ruined and defenseless. You will eat, but still be hungry. You will store up goods, but lose everything. I, the Lord, will let it all be captured in war. You won't harvest what you plant, or use the oil from your olive trees, or drink the wine from grapes you grow. Jerusalem, this will happen, because you followed the sinful example of kings Omri and Ahab. Now I will destroy you and your property. Then the people of every nation will make fun and insult you. Israel is corrupt. Chapter 7. I feel so empty inside, like someone starving for grapes or figs after the vines and trees have all been picked clean. No one is loyal to God. No one does right. Everyone is brutal and eager to deceive everyone else. People cooperate to commit crime. Judges and leaders demand bribes, and rulers cheat in court. The most honest of them is worse than a thorn patch. Your doom has come. Look out, sound the warning, and everyone panics. Don't trust anyone, not even your best friend, and be careful what you say to the one you love. Sons refuse to respect their own fathers. Daughters rebel against their own mothers, and daughters-in-law despise their mothers-in-law. Your family is now your enemy. But I trust the Lord God to save me, and I will wait for Him to answer my prayer. The nation turns to God. My enemies, don't be glad because of my troubles. I may have fallen, but I will get up. I may be sitting in the dark, but the Lord is my light. I have sinned against the Lord, and so I must endure his anger until he comes to my defense. But I know that I will see him making things right for me and leading me to the light. You, my enemies, said, the Lord God is helpless. Now each of you will be disgraced and put to shame. I will see you trampled like mud in the street. A Bright Future. Towns of Judah, the day is coming when your walls will be rebuilt and your boundaries enlarged. People will flock to you from Assyria and Egypt, from Babylonia and everywhere else. Those nations will suffer disaster because of what they did. Micah's Prayer and the Lord's Answer. Lead your people, Lord. Come and be our shepherd. Grasslands surround us, but we live in a forest. So lead us to Bashan and Gilead, and let us find pasture as we did long ago. I, the Lord, will work miracles, just as I did when I led you out of Egypt. Nations will see this and be ashamed because of their helpless armies. They will be in shock, unable to speak or hear, because of their fear of me, your Lord and God. Then they will come trembling, crawling out of their fortresses like insects or snakes, lapping up the dust. No one is like God. The people said, our God, no one is like you. We are all that is left of your chosen people, and you freely forgive our sin and guilt. You don't stay angry forever. You're glad to have pity and pleased to be merciful. You will trample on our sins and throw them in the sea. You will keep your word and be faithful to Jacob and to Abraham, as you promised our ancestors many years ago.
This ends Micah, narrated by Henry Strozier. And now, Nahum, narrated by Norman Dietz.
Nahum. About this book. In this book, the prophet Nahum said the Lord was going to bring justice and punish Assyria because it had been so cruel to other nations. Many Old Testament books also talk about the Lord's mercy when they discuss the Lord's justice, but in this book, the Lord is merciful and good only to those who turn to him. Nahum also hinted that one way God has mercy on his people is to punish enemies like Assyria and give his people freedom from their power. And the Lord can do this because he rules the earth. Chapter 1. I am Nahum from Elkosh, and this is the message that I wrote down about Nineveh. The fierce anger of the Lord. The Lord God demands loyalty. In his anger, he takes revenge on his enemies. The Lord is powerful yet patient. He makes sure that the guilty are always punished. He can be seen in storms and in whirlwinds. Clouds are the dust from his feet. At the Lord's command, oceans and rivers dry up. Bashan, Mount Carmel, and Lebanon wither, and their flowers fade. At the sight of the Lord, mountains and hills tremble and melt. The earth and its people shudder and shake. Who can stand the heat of his furious anger? It flashes out like fire and shatters stones. The power of Assyria will be broken. The Lord is good. He protects those who trust him in times of trouble. But like a roaring flood, the Lord chases his enemies into dark places and destroys them. So don't plot against the Lord. He wipes out his enemies and they never revive. They are like drunkards overcome by wine, or like dry thorn bushes burning in a fire. Assyria, One of your rulers has made evil plans against the Lord. But the Lord says, Assyria, no matter how strong you are doomed. My people Judah, I have troubled you before, but I won't do it again. I'll snap your chains and set you free from the Assyrians. Assyria, this is what else the Lord says to you. Your name will be forgotten. I will destroy every idol in your temple, and I will send you to the grave because you are worthless. Look toward the mountains, people of Judah. Here comes a messenger with good news of peace. Celebrate your festivals. Keep your promises to God. Your evil enemies are destroyed and will never again invade your country. Nineveh will fall. Chapter 2. Nineveh, someone is coming to attack and scatter you. Guard your fortresses. Watch the road. Be brave. Prepare for battle. Judah and Israel are like trees with branches broken by their enemies. But the Lord is going to restore their power and glory. Nineveh, on this day of attack, your enemies' shields are red. Their uniforms are crimson. Their horses prance, and their armored chariots dart around like lightning or flaming torches. An officer gives a command, but his soldiers stumble as they hasten to build a shelter to protect themselves against rocks thrown down from the city wall. The river gates fly open, and panic floods the palace. Nineveh is disgraced. The queen is dragged off. Her servant women mourn. They sound like doves, and they beat their breasts in sorrow. Nineveh is like a pond with leaking water. Shouts of stop, don't go, can be heard everywhere, but everyone is leaving. Enemy soldiers shout, the city is full of treasure and all kinds of wealth. Steal her silver, grab her gold. Nineveh is doomed, destroyed. Her people tremble with fear, their faces turn pale. What happened to this city? They were safer there than powerful lions in a den, with no one to disturb them. These are the same lions that ferociously attacked their victims, then dragged away the flesh to feed their young. The Lord All-Powerful is against you, Nineveh. God will burn your chariots and send an army to kill those young lions of yours. You will never again make victims of others or send messengers to threaten everyone on this earth. Punishment for Nineveh. Chapter 3. The Lord said, doom to the crime capital. Nineveh, city of murder and treachery, here is your fate. Cracking whips, turning wheels, galloping horses, roaring chariots. Cavalry attacking, swords and spears flashing, soldiers stumbling over piles of dead bodies. You were nothing more than a prostitute, using your magical charms and witchcraft to attract and trap nations. But I, the Lord All-Powerful, am now your enemy. I will pull up your skirt and let nations and kingdoms stare at your nakedness. I will cover you with garbage, treat you like trash, and rub you in the dirt. Everyone who sees you will turn away and shout, Nineveh is done for. Is anyone willing to mourn or to give her comfort? Nineveh's fate is sealed. Nineveh, do you feel safer than the city of Thebes? The Nile River was its wall of defense. Thebes trusted the mighty power of Ethiopia and Egypt. The nations of Put and Libya were her allies. But she was captured and taken to a foreign country. Her children were murdered at every street corner. The members of her royal family were auctioned off, and her high officials were bound in chains. Nineveh, now it's your turn. You will get drunk and try to hide from your enemy. Your fortresses are fig trees with ripe figs. Merely shake the trees and fruit will fall into every open mouth. Your army is weak. Fire has destroyed the crossbars on your city gates. Now they stand wide open to your enemy. Your city is under attack. Haul in extra water. Strengthen your defenses. Start making bricks. Stir the mortar. You will still go up in flames and be cut down by swords that will wipe you out like wheat attacked by grasshoppers. So go ahead and increase like a swarm of locusts. More merchants are in your city than there are stars in the sky, but they are like locusts that eat everything, then fly away. Your guards and your officials are swarms of locusts. On a chilly day, they settle on a fence, but when the sun comes out, they take off to who knows where. King of Assyria, your officials and leaders sleep the eternal sleep, while your people are scattered in the mountains. Yes, your people are sheep without a shepherd. You're fatally wounded. There's no hope for you. But everyone claps when they hear this news, because your constant cruelty has caused them pain.
This ends Nahum, narrated by Norman Dietz. And now, Habakkuk, narrated by Peter J. Fernandez.
Habakkuk. About this book. The first two chapters of this book report a conversation between Habakkuk and the Lord. Habakkuk complained that Judah was full of injustice and crime. The Lord answered that he was going to have the Babylonians punish the people of Judah. But then Habakkuk complained that this would be unfair, because the Babylonians were even worse sinners than the people of Judah. The Lord answered that Babylonia would be punished later. The last chapter of the book is a prayer in which Habakkuk praises the Lord's power and glory. Chapter 1. I am Habakkuk the prophet, and this is the message that the Lord gave me. Habakkuk complains to the Lord. Our Lord, how long must I beg for your help before you listen? How long before you save us from all this violence? Why do you make me watch such terrible injustice? Why do you allow violence, lawlessness, crime, and cruelty to spread everywhere? Laws cannot be enforced. Justice is always the loser. Criminals crowd out honest people and twist the laws around. The Lord answers Habakkuk. Look and be amazed at what's happening among the nations. Even if you were told, you would never believe what's taking place now. I am sending the Babylonians. They are fierce and cruel, marching across the land, conquering cities and towns. How fearsome and frightening! Their only laws and rules are the ones they make up. Their cavalry troops are faster than leopards, more ferocious than wolves hunting at sunset, and swifter than hungry eagles suddenly swooping down. They are eager to destroy, and they gather captives like handfuls of sand. They make fun of rulers and laugh at fortresses, while building dirt mounds so they can capture cities. Then suddenly they disappear like a gust of wind. Those sinful people who worship their own strength. Habakkuk complains again. Holy Lord God, mighty rock, you are eternal and we are safe from death. You are using those Babylonians to judge and punish others. But you can't stand sin or wrong. So don't sit by in silence while they gobble down people who are better than they are. The people you put on this earth are like fish or reptiles without a leader. Then an enemy comes along and takes them captive with hooks and nets. It makes him so happy that he offers sacrifices to his fishing nets, because they make him rich and provide choice foods. Will he keep hauling in his nets and destroying nations without showing mercy? The Lord answers Habakkuk again. Chapter 2. While standing guard on the watchtower, I waited for the Lord's answer before explaining the reason for my complaint. Then the Lord told me, I will give you my message in the form of a vision. Write it clearly enough to be read at a glance. At the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. I, the Lord, refuse to accept anyone who is proud, only those who live by faith are acceptable to me. Trouble for evil people. Wine is treacherous, and arrogant people are never satisfied. They are no less greedy than death itself. They open their mouths as wide as the world of the dead and swallow everyone. But they will be mocked with these words, "You are doomed. You stored up stolen goods and cheated others of what belonged to them. But without warning, those you owe will demand payment. Then you will become a frightened victim. You robbed cities and nations everywhere on earth and murdered their people. Now those who survived will be as cruel to you. You're doomed. You made your family rich at the expense of others. You even said to yourself, 'I'm above the law.' But you will bring shame on your family and ruin to yourself for what you did to others. The very stones and wood in your home will testify against you. You're doomed. You built a city on crime and violence, but the Lord All-Powerful sends up in flames what nations and people work so hard to gain. Just as water fills the sea, the land will be filled with people who know and honor the Lord. You're doomed. You get your friends drunk just to see them naked. Now you will be disgraced instead of praised. The Lord will make you drunk, and when others see you naked, you will lose their respect. You destroyed trees and animals on Mount Lebanon. You were ruthless to towns and people everywhere. Now you will be terrorized. Idolatry is foolish. What is an idol worth? It's merely a false god. Why trust a speechless image made from wood or metal by human hands? What can you learn from idols covered with silver or gold? They can't even breathe. Pity anyone who says to an idol of wood or stone, 'Get up and do something.' Let all the world be silent. The Lord is present in his holy temple." Habakkuk's Prayer, Chapter 3. This is my prayer. I know your reputation, Lord, and I am amazed at what you have done. Please turn from your anger and be merciful. Do for us what you did for our ancestors. You are the same holy God who came from Teman and Paran to help us. The brightness of your glory covered the heavens, and your praises were heard everywhere on earth. Your glory shone like the sun, and light flashed from your hands, hiding your mighty power. Dreadful diseases and plagues marched in front and followed behind. When you stopped, the earth shook. When you stared, nations trembled. When you walked along your ancient paths, eternal mountains and hills crumbled and collapsed. The tents of desert tribes in Cushan and Midian were ripped apart. Our Lord, were you angry with the monsters of the deep? You attacked in your chariot and wiped them out. Your arrows were ready and obeyed your commands. You split the earth apart with rivers and streams. Mountains trembled at the sight of you. Rain poured from the clouds. Ocean waves roared and rose. The sun and moon stood still while your arrows and spears flashed like lightning. In your furious anger, you trampled on nations to rescue your people and save your chosen one. You crushed a nation's ruler and stripped his evil kingdom of its power. His troops had come like a storm, hoping to scatter us and glad to gobble us down. To them we were refugees in hiding. But you smashed their heads with their own weapons. Then your chariots churned the waters of the sea." Habakkuk's response to God's message. "When I heard this message, I felt weak from fear, and my lips quivered. My bones seemed to melt, and I stumbled around. But I will patiently wait. Someday those vicious enemies will be struck by disaster." Trust in a time of trouble. Fig trees may no longer bloom, or vineyards produce grapes. Olive trees may be fruitless and harvest time a failure. Sheep pens may be empty and cattle stalls vacant, but I will still celebrate, because the Lord God saves me. The Lord gives me strength. He makes my feet as sure as those of a deer, and he helps me to stand on the mountains. To the music director. Use stringed instruments.
This ends Habakkuk, narrated by Peter J. Fernandez. And now, Zephaniah, narrated by George Guidel.
Zephaniah. About this book. The people of Judah had thought that at a certain time in the future, the Lord was going to make them powerful and would wipe out their enemies. This future time of justice, victory, and celebration was called the Day of the Lord. But Zephaniah told the people that when the Day of the Lord did come, the Lord would punish everyone who had not obeyed him. And this included Judah as well as other nations. The only way that Judah could avoid being swept away by the Lord's anger was to obey the Lord and worship only him. Chapter 1. I am Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the grandson of Gedaliah, the great-grandson of Amariah, and the great-great-grandson of Hezekiah. When Josiah, son of Ammon, was king of Judah, the Lord gave me this message. Judgment on Judah. I, the Lord, now promise to destroy everything on this earth. People and animals, birds and fish. Everyone who is evil will crash to the ground, and I will wipe out the entire human race. I will reach out to punish Judah and Jerusalem. Nothing will remain of the god Baal. Nothing will be remembered of his pagan priests. Not a trace will be found of those who worship stars from their rooftops, or bow down to the god Milcom while claiming loyalty to me, the Lord. Nothing will remain of anyone who has turned away and rejected me. Be silent. I am the Lord God, and the time is near. I am preparing to sacrifice my people and to invite my guests. On that day, I will punish national leaders and sons of the king, along with all who follow foreign customs. I will punish worshippers of pagan gods and cruel palace officials who abuse their power. I, the Lord, promise that on that day, noisy crying will be heard from Fishgate, New Town, and Upper Hills. Everyone in Lower Hollow will mourn loudly, because merchants and money changers will be wiped out. I'll search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those people who sit there unworried while thinking the Lord won't do anything, good or bad. Their possessions will be taken, their homes left in ruins. They won't get to live in the houses they build, or drink wine from the grapes in their own vineyards. A terrible day. The great day of the Lord is coming soon, very soon. On that terrible day, fearsome shouts of warriors will be heard everywhere. It will be a time of anger, of trouble and torment, of disaster and destruction, of darkness and despair, of storm clouds and shadows, of trumpet calls and battle cries against fortified cities and mighty fortresses. The Lord warns everyone who has sinned against him, I'll strike you blind. Then your blood and your insides will gush out like vomit. Not even your silver or gold can save you on that day when I, the Lord, am angry. My anger will flare up like a furious fire, scorching the earth and everyone on it. Turn to the Lord. Chapter 2. You disgraceful nation, gather around before it's too late. The Lord has set a time when his fierce anger will strike like a storm and sweep you away. If you humbly obey the Lord, then come and worship him. If you do right and are humble, perhaps you will be safe on that day when the Lord turns loose his anger. Judgment on Philistia. Gaza and Ashkelon will be deserted and left in ruins. Ashdod will be emptied in broad daylight and Ekron uprooted. To you people of Philistia who live along the coast, the Lord has this to say, I am now your enemy and I'll wipe you out. Your seacoast will be changed into pasture land and sheep pens. The Lord God hasn't forgotten those survivors in Judah, and he will help them.
His people will take your land to use for pasture, and when evening comes, they will rest in houses at Ashkelon. Judgment on Moab and Ammon. The Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, said, I've heard Moab and Ammon insult my people and threaten their nation. And so I swear by my very life that Moab and Ammon will end up like Sodom and Gomorrah, covered with thorn bushes and salt pits forever. Then my people who survive will take their land. This is how Moab and Ammon will at last be repaid for their pride, and for sneering at the nation that belongs to me, the Lord All-Powerful. I will fiercely attack. Then every god on this earth will shrink to nothing, and everyone of every nation will bow down to me right where they are. Judgment on Ethiopia. People of Ethiopia, the sword of the Lord will slaughter you. Judgment on Assyria. The Lord will reach to the north to crush Assyria and overthrow Nineveh. Herds of wild animals will live in its rubble. All kinds of desert owls will perch on its stones and hoot in the windows. Noisy ravens will be heard inside its buildings, stripped bare of cedar. This is the glorious city that felt secure and said, I am the only one. Now it's merely ruins, a home for wild animals. Every passerby simply sneers and makes vulgar signs. Sinful Jerusalem, Chapter 3. Too bad for that disgusting, corrupt, and lawless city. Forever rebellious and rejecting correction, Jerusalem refuses to trust or obey the Lord God. Its officials are roaring lions, its judges are wolves. In the evening they attack, by morning nothing is left. Jerusalem's prophets are proud and not to be trusted. The priests have disgraced the place of worship and abused God's law. All who do evil are shameless, but the Lord does right and is always fair. With the dawn of each day, God brings about justice. The Lord wiped out nations and left fortresses crumbling in the dirt. Their streets and towns were reduced to ruins and emptied of people. God felt certain that Jerusalem would learn to respect and obey him. Then he would hold back from punishing the city and not wipe it out. But everyone there was eager to start sinning again. Nations will turn to the Lord. The Lord said, Just wait for the day when I accuse you nations. I have decided on a day when I will bring together every nation and kingdom and punish them all in my fiery anger. I will become furious and destroy the earth. I will purify each language and make those languages acceptable for praising me. Then, with hearts united, everyone will serve only me, the Lord. From across the rivers of Ethiopia, my scattered people, my true worshippers, will bring offerings to me. When that time comes, you won't rebel against me and be put to shame. I'll do away with those who are proud and arrogant. Never will any of them strut around on my holy mountain. But I, the Lord, won't destroy any of your people who are truly humble and turn to me for safety. The people of Israel who survive will live right and refuse to tell lies. They will eat and rest with nothing to fear. A song of celebration. Everyone in Jerusalem and Judah, celebrate and shout with all your heart. Zion, your punishment is over. The Lord has forced your enemies to turn and retreat. Your Lord is King of Israel and stands at your side. You don't have to worry about any more troubles. Jerusalem, the time is coming when it will be said to you, Don't be discouraged or grow weak from fear. The Lord your God wins victory after victory and is always with you. He celebrates and sings because of you, and he will refresh your life with his love. The Lord's promise to his people. The Lord has promised, Your sorrow has ended and you can celebrate. I will punish those who mistreat you. I will bring together the lame and the outcasts. Then they will be praised instead of despised in every country on earth. I will lead you home, and with your own eyes you will see me bless you with all you once owned. Then you will be famous everywhere on this earth. I, the Lord, have spoken."
This ends Zephaniah, narrated by George Guidel. And now, Haggai, narrated by Peter J. Fernandez.
Haggai. About this book. By 520 BC, many of the Jews had returned to Judah from the exile in Babylonia. The leaders were fairly well off, but most of the people were struggling just to survive. The Lord told Haggai that the reason the people had to struggle was because the temple still had not been rebuilt. Their lack of respect for the Lord's temple showed that they did not respect the Lord himself, and so he refused to bless them. The people began work on the temple, and then the Lord promised to bless them and make them prosperous. Rebuild the Temple. Chapter 1. On the first day of the sixth month of the second year that Darius was king of Persia, the Lord told Haggai the prophet to speak his message to the governor of Judah and to the high priest. So Haggai told Governor Zerubbabel and high priest Joshua that the Lord All-Powerful had said to them and to the people, "You say this isn't the right time to build a temple for me. But is it right for you to live in expensive houses while my temple is a pile of ruins? Just look at what's happening. You harvest less than you plant. You never have enough to eat or drink. Your clothes don't keep you warm, and your wages are stored in bags full of holes. Think about what I have said. But first, go to the hills and get wood for my temple, so I can take pride in it and be worshipped there. You expected much but received only a little, and when you brought it home, I made that little disappear. Why have I done this? It's because you hurry off to build your own houses while my temple is still in ruins. That's also why the dew doesn't fall and your harvest fails. And so, at my command, everything will become barren. Your farmland and pastures, your vineyards and olive trees, your animals and you yourselves. All your hard work will be for nothing." Zerubbabel and Joshua, together with the others who had returned from exile in Babylonia, obeyed the Lord's message spoken by his prophet Haggai, and they started showing proper respect for the Lord. Haggai then told them that the Lord had promised to be with them. So the Lord God All-Powerful made everyone eager to work on his temple, especially Zerubbabel and Joshua. And the work began on the 24th day of that same month. The Glorious New Temple. Chapter 2. On the 21st day of the next month, the Lord told Haggai the prophet to speak this message to Governor Zerubbabel, High Priest Joshua, and everyone else. "Does anyone remember how glorious this temple used to be? Now it looks like nothing. But cheer up, because I, the Lord, All-Powerful, will be here to help you with the work, just as I promised your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt. Don't worry. My spirit is right here with you. Soon I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake the nations, and their treasures will be brought here. Then the brightness of my glory will fill this temple. All silver and gold belong to me, and I promise that this new temple will be more glorious than the first one. I will also bless this city with peace." The past and the future. On the 24th day of the ninth month, the Lord God All-Powerful told the prophet Haggai to ask the priests for their opinion on the following matter. "Suppose meat ready to be sacrificed to God is being carried in the folds of someone's clothing, and the clothing rubs against some bread or stew or wine or olive oil or any other food. Would those foods that were touched then become acceptable for sacrifice?" "Of course not," the priests answered. Then Haggai said, "Suppose someone has touched a dead body and is considered unacceptable to worship God. If that person touches these foods, would they become unclean? Of course they would, the priests answered. So the Lord told Haggai to say, That's how it is with this entire nation. Everything you do and every sacrifice you offer is unacceptable to me. But from now on, things will get better. Before you started laying the foundation for the temple, you recalled what life was like in the past. When you wanted 20 bushels of wheat, they were only 10. And when you wanted 50 jars of wine, they were only 20. I made all of your hard work useless by sending mildew, mold, and hail. But you still did not return to me, your Lord. Today you have completed the foundation for my temple, so listen to what your future will be like. Although you have not yet harvested any grain, grapes, figs, pomegranates, or olives, I will richly bless you in the days ahead. God's promise to Zerubbabel. That same day the Lord spoke to Haggai again and said, Tell Governor Zerubbabel of Judah that I am going to shake the heavens and the earth and wipe out kings and their kingdoms. I will overturn war chariots, and then cavalry troops will start slaughtering each other. But tell my servant, Zerubbabel, that I, the Lord All-Powerful, have chosen him, and he will rule in my name.
This ends Haggai, narrated by Peter J. Fernandez. And now, Zechariah, narrated by Henry Strozier.
Zechariah. About this book. The people of Jerusalem had problems. They had begun to rebuild the temple. But the new temple could never be as great as the original one. There was no king from David's family, and Judah was only a small part of the Medo-Persian Empire. In the first part of this book, Zechariah tells how the Lord gave him 8 meaningful visions to help the people overcome these problems.